brain.
Guys, my hero, man. 7 times Hawaii Ironman. That's pretty amazing. Well, my name is John. It's great to have you here with us this morning. And before we dive into our message, we want to extend a couple of congratulations. We have 2 couples that were married since the beginning of the year that we want to say congratulations to. So I'm going to ask them to stand. Steve and Mara Statizan, would you stand? We want to say congratulations to them. And Bobby and Ben Stair, we want to say congratulations to them. Congratulations, guys. So congratulations. Years after Christine and I were married, she got to one of those decade birthdays, and so I wanted to do something special for her. And so I thought, what would I like for my decade birthday? I thought, I would really like a surprise party. That's what I would really like. And so I thought, she would really like that. So that always works in relationships, doesn't it? You know. And so so I planned all the details and coordinated everything and arranged it with the people that were going to be there. And when we started driving there to this party, she started to figure out what was going on, and things kind of went south from there, you know, really, really fast. And first of all, she asked me, what was I going to do, lie? No, I'm not doing this for you. Well, yeah, of course I'm doing this. She's like, you know, I really don't like surprises. No, I really didn't until now realize you didn't like surprises. And then as we got to the place where we were having the surprise party, she didn't want to get out of the car. She's like, you can go, I'll just sit here the whole time. You can go, I'm sitting here the whole time. So this was really going bad, you know, I'm just, surprise, it's me, you know, my wife's not here, you know. So, eventually she did go into the party, and I think it was okay, and I learned from that experience, and by the next decade was better, and by the next decade I hit it out of the park, so I was kind of growing and improving in that process. But I realized very quickly in that setting how fast things can go south on you. This can happen in all different kinds of things in life, isn't it true? You know, have you ever had this experience where you haven't told the complete truth, you've kind of shaded the truth just a little bit, and as you shaded that truth a little bit, and then somebody else found out some information you didn't think they were going to find out, and you're like, oh no, now what do I do? You know, I shaded it there, do I shade it again? And if I shade again, now there's 2 people that don't know the truth, and what happens when a third person, and then it spirals downward very, very quickly. Or maybe you were in a situation where you were running a little bit short on funds, and so you had to borrow from this part of your finances to pay for this. So you borrowed from Peter to pay Paul, and then Peter came knocking, and then you had to borrow from George to pay Peter to pay Paul, and then Fred came knocking, and you're like, how in the world did I max out this credit? I don't even know how I did it. And it just spiraled downward so fast. You know, it can happen relationally as well. Have you ever had this experience? Have you come home, maybe you come home from work and you had a good day and you're kind of coming in and you're there to see your kids or see your spouse and you want to engage with them and you start to engage and somebody says something that they shouldn't have said and then somebody doesn't hear it very well and then somebody gets upset about what was said and then you can't quite figure out what was said but you know you're fired up now and the engagement just kind of spirals downward and about 10 minutes, 15 minutes down the road you're like, this was not what I was coming home to, you know. And very quickly, it went south. Well, this morning, we're going to continue our series entitled, How to Get What You Really Want. And part of what we're going to discover as we look this week and how to get what you really want is we're going to walk ourselves backwards. Because what we discovered last week is that before we can figure out the answer to this question, we have to figure out what we value. What really matters? What's important to us? And then even once we have clarity about that, it doesn't solve our problems. It doesn't fix things. It doesn't make things go better. We're still faced with some challenges that can trip us up very quickly and very fast. Things can go south. If you were here with us last week, I asked this question. I asked, what do you really want? What do you really want? And as we talked last week, we discovered a few things about the things that you want, the things that I want. One of the things we discovered is you want your own way. You want your own way. If you're really honest, sometimes, maybe not all the time, but you just want your own way. You want what you want. And you not only want what you want, but you want it now. You want it now. You're not willing to wait a few minutes. You're not willing to wait a few days, a few weeks, even a year or two. You want it now. You want it now. And the problem is when we want what we want and we want our way and we want it right now, we end up in places that we never intended to go. If you simply get what you want, you're probably going to lose your way. You're probably going to lose your way. If you gave your kids everything they wanted all the time, would they be where they wanted to be? No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. And if you simply get what you want, you're going to end up where you don't want to be. If you just get what you want, why can't you just give me what I want? I won't ask how many of you have heard that or said those words. Why can't you just give me what I want? If you actually got what you want, you would end up where you don't want to be. And so this morning, we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to dive in and explore some tensions and some landmines that come with this issue. But in order to do that, in order to try to answer this question, we actually have to walk ourselves backwards. Backwards to the beginning, backwards to my beginning, to your beginning, actually backwards to the very beginning when God started things. And that's where we want to begin this morning, where God started things. Because in order to get to understanding what I really want, I've got to look at who I am and who made me. And how did they make me and why did they make me? What does that have to do with what I really want? The first book in the Bible, Genesis, God says this. It says, God said, let us make mankind in our image. The us in that phrase is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They together said, let us make man in our image. That idea of image is the idea of a stamp, something that's an impression, something that is there with you, something that shapes who you are. We talk about often with couples, my wife and I, when we do premarital counseling, not only talk about the fact that we have physical DNA from our parents, but we have this relational DNA that gets passed down generation to generation to generation. And we walk backwards to look at the patterns and the trends that have shown up in our family story for generation after generation after generation. Whether we like it or not, our family DNA is getting stamped on us. And part of what God wants to do is God wants to redeem and God wants to reconcile and God wants to transform and change that. And some of you are breaking family patterns that have been there for generations. Saying, I don't want the future to be this way. With God's help, we're going to do it differently. But not only is there that relational DNA, but there's actually a spiritual DNA where God stamps something into not just our brains or the way we talk and relate, but into our soul. He stamps it into our soul. In Psalm 8, verse 4 and 5, David, who's writing the Psalms, says this, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? He's speaking to God. He said, human beings that you care for them? You made them a little lower than the angels and you crowned them with glory and honor. David's saying that, you know, there's God the Creator and then there's the angels and then you made mankind just right underneath of them. And he said, you placed on their head, you crowned them with this idea of glory and honor. I don't know how often you think about the truth, the reality that you, regardless of your story, regardless of your past, regardless of your life situation, that God has placed on your head glory and honor. It's part of what he has placed in you. Part of what he's placed in you. But he's not only placed those things in you. He's also placed desires in you. Things that come from the deep part of who we are. We call them the deep desires. You know, I heard for a long time that that God just had given us mind, will, and emotion. That's what God has placed in us, mind, will, and emotion. And that's what makes us different than the animals, because the animals don't have mind, will, and emotion. But I realized that was something different about that. A few years ago, our neighbor, we live in a townhouse and we're attached to a neighbor, and this neighbor had a dog, and the guy, he would leave every morning at 5:30 to go to work, and his wife worked third shift, and she didn't get home till 7. So there was an hour and a half that this dog was by itself, and this dog would bark and howl and whine for an hour and a half. I never knew dogs had separation anxiety until this neighbor got this dog that did that. I was so glad when that dog died. I didn't have anything to do with it, but I was glad when it was gone. I mean, because at 5:30, it's waking me up, and I couldn't go back, even if I'm an early morning person, but still, if you want to sleep in. But I realized that there's something about the dogs. They have something inside of them. I mean, how many of you get greeted by one of these things, you know, when you come home from, you know, when you come home from work or school or wherever you are, you know? And they're not only excited. I got one of these that gives me a little howling to go to boot, you know, to boot along with all of that, you know? And so, you know, they're excited when they see you come home. They're excited. And then when you come home to one of these messes, you're like, what in the world was going on when that happened, you know? You know, mine, you take her out, you take her out, she goes, you bring her back in, you leave, and then she peed on the couch. What'd she pee on the couch? Because she was ticked at us, you know, that we left her, you know. How in the world? Well, now they can scan brains, and they can scan animal brains, and they realize that animals can share some of the same emotions we do, but you know what animals don't feel? They never feel any guilt. Never feel any guilt. You notice that with dogs? I can't believe you did that, you know, and then, you know, and then. There's no guilt with the dog. They feel bad for like, what, 5 seconds, you know, and then they move on with life. And so what happened? Have animals gotten smarter? Have we regressed? What's happened? No, I think what I've recognized is that there's more that God has placed in us than just divine mind, will, and emotions. There's more. There's a lot more. And over this past year, I've come to grow and understand that there is these desires that God has placed into each of us. These deep desires of things that we long for. What are those deep desires? Well, here's just a few of them. God has given us a desire for purpose. Purpose. You know, we have a reason that we want to live, a reason that we want to exist. My dog exists to eat. That's the only reason my dog is alive. It exists to eat. No other purpose at all, just to eat food, you know. But I have a bigger purpose in my life than that. Relationships. God's given me a desire, as you heard Roddy say, to be in relationships. He's given me a deep desire for impact and significance. You know, I want to have a sense that my life matters for honor and respect. You're like, where does that sense of honor, where does that need for respect that God places in? That's God. God stamps that on our soul. To be known and valued. We talk about in our groups, a group's a place to be known and to know others. To be valued, known, you matter. That comes from God. Well, where's that desire to protect those that are your own? And then to work hard and provide. That's from God. He stamped that in your soul. To come through, to be here, well done, beauty and creativity. Realize God has given all of that to all of us. Some of you are far more gifted than others. And we'd love when we see it. Desire to look and appear beautiful. That's part of God's stamp on your soul. And then lastly, justice and freedom. To right wrongs. Where does that come from? That's from God. That a longing for peace, that shalom, wholeness, completion, and order. That's from God. And so part of what I've come to discover is that God has stamped all of these things deep on our souls. And these are not things that I had thought a lot before, but there's just one problem with this image of God in us. There's just one problem. And the problem is this. Not only has God put His image and His deep desires in the soul of every man, woman, and child alive, but there's another problem, and that's in Romans 3:23. It says we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. We've all fallen short of God's glorious ideal. Everybody's missed the mark. In spite of having God's image in us, we miss the mark. And the painful result of that is death. And death always means separation. It's separation of our physical body from our spiritual body. It's separation from the people that we love. Death means separation. And so all the good stuff we do, all the good things that people do in trying to appease God, it doesn't do anything. It's worthless. It's worthless. What this means is that our attempts to live according to our design do not leave us earning any brownie points with God. They're of no value. And the result is that we do what we want to do, and it leads us in bad places. It leads us in bad places. You say, what are those places? If you have your Bible, turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, that's the page number in the Bible in the rack in front of you there. Galatians 5. Galatians is a letter that Paul wrote to a first century church that he helped get started. It was likely a group of house churches, and he wrote this letter back to them that they passed around. And in Galatians, he's talking about them. He's trying to explain to these Jewish people, what does it look like for you to not be bound by the old rules, the old laws, and for you to live freely according to God's direction? And in Galatians 5, he's talking about these two paths. He's talking about the way of the flesh and the way of the spirit. The way of the flesh kind of pictures when I do what I want to do, when I pursue life the way I want to pursue it. And Paul says, when you pursue life the way you want to pursue it, and when you make what you want about things you want now and your way, he said, this is where it's going to lead you. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft. He said, when you make life and what you want, what you really want, about things that are not these deep desires, when you make it about you and in your timing and your way and your plan, he said, this is where it's going to lead you. He said, this is where it's going to lead you. He said, John, idolatry, really? That kind of old school stuff? An idol is something they put up on a pedestal, right? And they worship. Anything in your life that you put up on a pedestal? He said, don't touch that. Don't get near it. Don't spill any food on it. You know, nobody can use it. Nobody can borrow it. It's mine. That's what an idol is. Something that we put up on a pedestal. Say, witchcraft? We don't talk about that stuff in church. Some would translate it sorcery, divination, magic. What's the point of all of that? The point of all of that is to deceive, to make things appear as they really are not. And it's really an attempt to try to control the what you're seeing and to control what you're thinking and to control what you see. They want you to watch this while they're doing something over here that you can't see, right? That's what's happening. And so when I take control of my life, when things feel out of control and I'm attempting to control life, leads to this. At least to this. He gives us a few more. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. He goes on to describe them. And the truth is, if you and I are really being honest, all of our lives a couple of these show up. Sometimes they're a lot more subtle. You know, maybe it's that neighbor that gives everybody a hard time, always just making life miserable in the neighborhood. You know, and you see, you happen to be at your front window and you watch their garbage can out in the street and the garbage truck drives over and smashes the smithereens and you're like, yes, they finally got what they deserve, you know. And where's that coming from? You know, that's not love, joy, peace flowing out of you. That's something kind of ugly that's flowing out. And so Paul talks about us being in this dilemma because he says you've been made in God's image, stamped with the image of God, and you have these deep desires, but if I just do it my way, it's going to lead me down a path that I don't really want to go. And what we talk about all the time is an alternative, and the alternative is following Jesus. That's the alternative. The alternative is recognize that I can't do life on my own, that I'm not going to choose to do life on my own, that I'm going to go a different path, and that different path is going to be me pursuing a relationship with Jesus. Admitting that I'm not going to try to manage my life and control my life on my own. Unfortunately, just because you or I choose to follow Jesus, it doesn't get rid of this way of the flesh. It's still there. It's still there. But Paul goes on in this section, and we're not going to look at it today, but he goes on in this section, he says, if you do choose to follow the direction of the Spirit, if you do choose, instead of what I really want to be all about you and now and my needs, if you choose to pursue it in a different way, there's going to be something different that's going to show up in your life. Love is going to show up in your life. Joy is going to show up in your life. Peace is going to show up in your life. Patience is going to show up in your life. Kindness is going to show up in your life. Self-control is going to show up in your life. I don't think there's a single one of us here who doesn't want to see those things show up in my life. But the difference is when I live the way God's designed me out of His image, attentive to my deep desires, then what happens? I live out of those deep desires. I live out of those deep desires. I began last week to talk about this whole idea of deep desires and then these surface desires. Deep desires and surface desires. And surface desires, there's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with them. My wife and I were working on some financial stuff and starting to talk about this next year, and we were having a conversation, you know, what do we want to see happen this next year with our finances? We talked about some, okay, we want to get some of these bills paid off, and we want to do a couple of home improvement things, and we want to save a little bit of money for, you know, for this, and Nothing wrong with talking about those things. Those are all surface desires. But if I pursue those surface desires, if I pursue them in my time frame, in my way, in my plan, it's going to lead me down this path. You say, what do you mean, John? Well, if I start pursuing those things and I recognize somebody in need and they need some financial help, but I'm focused solely on these things and I'm not willing to pay attention to them, that's not the way of the Spirit. That's the way of the flesh. You see, if all desires at the source, at the core, are good desires that come from God, how do they go bad? How do they go bad? They go bad when I pursue them in my way, in my time, in my plan. That's when they go bad. Wanting to eat, there's nothing wrong with wanting to eat. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a good desire that God has given us. To want to be in a relationship, that's a good desire that God has given us. Sexual intimacy, that's a good desire that God has given to us. But when I pursue those things in my plan, in my time, in my way, and I decide this is what I really want, it's not going to lead me down the way of the Spirit. It's going to lead me down the way of the flesh. I say, John, that sounds like a struggle that is very difficult. And the truth is, it is. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 7. If you want to turn back a few pages, if you're in Galatians, just turn back to a couple pages to Romans chapter 7. I want to look at a couple verses. Paul writes this, and remember, Paul is the guy that God miraculously rescued, said, I've got a mission for you. It's to spread the gospel all over the known world. He goes out and does this. And he writes this in Romans chapter 7. And I don't know about you, but I think for all of us, these are verses we should kind of keep close by. He says this in Romans 7:15. I don't understand what I do. He said, I don't understand it. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Paul says, I can't figure this out. Can't figure it out. He says, the things I want, I can't do them. The things I don't want, somehow I end up on that path over and over and over again. I don't know about you, but does that sound familiar? Sound familiar? The things I want to do, they're good things. I want to live out of these deep desires. I want to live in the way of the Spirit. But what do I end up? I end up just focusing on these surface things. And I do them and I try to get it my way and my time and my plan. And oh man, I end up over here messing things up. Paul says, you're in good company. You're in good company. He goes on to verse 18. Says, I have the desire to do what it is. What is good? That's the desire. But he said, I just can't carry it out. Verse 19, for I do not do the good I want to, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. So we have these deep desires that come from God, and they're in all of us. They're stamped in us. They're part of who we are. And we have these surface desires that are not bad, but if we live for them, we're going to come up feeling in the end. Leaves me feeling like I'm caught between a rock and a hard place. John, that's not a very encouraging message for me to come to church. Go try. You're not going to get very far, but go try. I think the reason I brought us to this is to highlight the struggle. To highlight the struggle. Because one of the things we believe is that faith is not only moment in time decisions, but faith is a journey. Faith is a journey. Faith is a journey. And we're all at different places on this journey. And that journey doesn't end until we leave this earth and we enter God's presence. And while there may be struggles that are less difficult now than they were at a time in our lives, there's part of these struggles we will live with because we live in this broken world. I used to think that if I did enough counseling, if I did enough therapy, if I did enough of this, that I'd be over my struggles. Was I deceived? And they're wealthier than I am. I'm just kidding. No, I had to face the reality that not only has God put his stamp on me, but others have put a stamp on me as well. And can God rescue me from that? Yes. Can God redeem me from that? Yes. Can he give me hope and a peace from that? Yes. But I still will live with those marks, with those scars. I say, why is that, John? Because the only way we get rescued is by the cross. You see, it's only Jesus that rescues us. And when my scars disappear, I forget what Jesus did. And I don't ever want to forget that he rescued me. And he keeps rescuing me. And he has to keep rescuing me over and over and over again. And as much as I love my life, and I love my family, and I love my job, and I love this faith community, God wants me to love and long for something more. And that's heaven. And my scars are all gone, and I'm all fixed up and all patched up. Why would I long for heaven? I'd be happy and content here. But see, God wants us to live out our faith and live out our life with this overwhelming reliance upon him and this recognition that the cross changes everything. And not to be content with this place as good as it is, but to stir in us this longing for something more called heaven. So Paul says, you've got to be realistic. You're going to live in a struggle down here. And if Paul lived with it, and if I live with it, I'm pretty sure we're all going to live with it. But we're all in this struggle together. And that's when these guys are up here talking about being in relationships, being connected. So you share your struggles. You say, hey, I'm having a difficult, you're in it together. Remembering that Jesus is the only hope and the only one that changes everything. You see, the danger for us is not our desires. The danger is not our desires. I believe the desires that we have, the desires of our heart, these are good things that God gives to us. The danger for us is this. The danger is how we go about obtaining those desires and the priority that we give them in our lives. The danger is how we go about obtaining those desires. Am I self-reliant or God-reliant? And the priority that they get in our lives. What place do they have? What priority do they have? You know, it's not wrong desire to be in a relationship. No. But if you manipulate, you control, you deceive your way into it, you're going to end up in a place you don't want to be. It's not a wrong desire to have a good job and good income, but if you take advantage of your coworkers, if you hoard your finances, if you don't help people in need, you're going to end up in a place you don't want to be. It's not a wrong desire to have intimacy in relationships, but if you pursue fantasy, if you pursue it outside of God's design, you're going to end up in a place you don't want to be. And that, and getting to that place you don't want to be can happen with incredible speed and in a way that will surprise you. And I want to close with this. James talks about this in James chapter 1. Turn forward a few books to James chapter 1, page 977. James chapter 1. James is the older brother of Jesus, and he's writing about this struggle, these desires, these temptations. He's writing about all of these things in James 1. Go to James verse 14. In James 1 verse 14, he says this. He says, but each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. When they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. I want to talk about this phrase, dragged away. I thought, when can I envision something being dragged? Well, I think I dragged my younger brothers and sisters. I did that when I was a kid, you know, and kids do that. They drag their siblings around, you know. But I thought about being dragged. I thought, I don't usually choose to be dragged. Anybody ever chosen to be dragged somewhere? Would you please drag me across the parking lot? No, I don't usually choose to be dragged, you know. You maybe you're working and your foot gets caught in something and someone's pulling something. You're like, whoa, stop, you know, because you're getting dragged. When my daughter was younger, she was jumping out of a car Our driveway's on a slope. She jumped out of the car, and somehow, I don't quite know how she did this, but she swung a backpack around, popped the end of the emergency brake, dropped the emergency brake. The car happened to be in neutral, and it started drifting, and it was dragging her down the driveway. Fortunately, she was okay, but she didn't choose for that to happen. It just happens. It just happens. And what James says is, he says, when our desires, these good things that God has placed deep in our soul, when we go about obtaining them and trying to accomplish them in our ways and in our timing, they will quickly drag us down. Quickly drag us away. We don't think of grown men and grown women being dragged away in our culture, do we? We don't think of that. We don't think about. But desires that we do not pay attention to, desires will happen in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year, where men and women and students will be dragged away. This process often happens before anybody sees it. This happens up here. This happens up here. This happens when you're on your phone or on your computer screen late at night looking at porn. That's when this happens. This happens when you are in here fantasizing about what you think you really want, but it's not what you really want. It happens up here. And so this process often happens here. But after it happens here, the next step is it becomes visible. It does what? It gives birth to sin. Then you act. There's the thought, and then there's the action. And this is what takes place. And so this sin that was a good desire, that started as something good, that now is stuck up in our minds, quickly becomes an action that becomes a sin that, if not addressed, it'll kill us. It'll kill us. So let me ask you this question. What is something good in your life that has the potential to drag you down and ruin you? What is something good in your life that has the potential to drag you down and ruin you? Is there a relationship and you say, I can't live without that relationship? God says, the only thing I want you to not be able to live without is me. Is that relationship meaningful? Yes. Is it valuable? Yes. Is it the highlight of your life? Yes. Something you treasure greatly? Yes. Maybe it's a hobby. It's consuming your life and your time. It's going to drag you down and ruin your life. Maybe it's a job. You told yourself early on, hey, it's going to help take care of our family, and it's going to provide for us, and we're going to be in a good place financially. Maybe it's an experience. Maybe it's a position. It's slowly become an idol, and it's threatening to take control and drag you down and ruin your life. Let me go back to that question. Is this what you really want? Is this what you really want? You see, answering this question, what do I really want, if I don't pay attention to the desires, if I don't pay attention to what I really value, I'm going to end up with something on the surface that sounds good, that looks good, that may even feel good for a period of time. But it's like a taste of sugar. It's going to make you feel good for a few minutes, and then you're going to hit the bottom and you're going to crash. And there's going to be nothing there. And that's not what God longs for you to know and experience in relationship with Him. As you head out this morning, I want to give you a couple questions to take with you. The first is, keep asking yourself this question: what do I really want? What do I really want? And I hope as you looked at some of those deep desires, that you're starting to think about, is there something more significant? Is there something deep that God has placed in my soul that I long for, that matters to me? What do you value? What do you value? Next week we're going to go through an exercise that my hope is that it'll help you get some more clarity on this. And then lastly, what is the potential of dragging you down to a place you don't want to go? I said potential. Some of you might already be there. Some of you might be at a place where you don't want to be right now, and you're like, I need some help, and you need to come and talk to us, and we'll help you take those steps. But some of you, you know what I'm talking about when it's up here, because nobody else in this room knows what's going on up here except you. And there's stuff going on up here. And you're like, I know it's not right. I know it's not what I want to do. It's just like Paul said, it's not what I want to do, but that's where I end up. And I know those some of those things down that path, John, I know I'm right on the edge. And if you don't pay attention to this, if you don't stop and say, that's not where I want to go, what's it going to take for me to go a different direction? It has the potential to drag you down to a place that you don't want to go. Well, as we keep wrestling with this subject, what do I really want? What do I really want? As we begin a new year, as you look out over 2018, and you say, what is it that I really want? What's going to allow me at the end of this year to look back and say, that was a year in which I had a chance to live life the best that I possibly could? And we believe for us, it really starts with who God has made you to be. His image and his desires that are stamped deep in your soul. And so my invitation is for you to keep exploring them, keep looking at them, and we're going to continue walking down this journey in the next couple of weeks. As we close this morning, I want to ask you to just bow your heads. I just want to give you a moment to talk to God. Wherever you're at in your journey, whether you're close to God, whether God feels far away, even if you're not sure how to talk to God, just take a moment. And in your thoughts, just tell God what you're hearing this morning. How would you answer that question? What do you really value? What do you really value? And what is putting you at risk to drag you away this morning? Maybe nobody even knows about it. Maybe your spouse sitting next to you doesn't know about it. Maybe your parents don't know about it. God's inviting you to come right now. Talk to someone about that. Because you don't want to end up someplace that you really don't want to be. God, as we close this morning, this whole idea about talking about our desires and our deep desires, and it can feel a little bit confusing, and I pray that your Spirit would just give clarity in our hearts and minds. God, just point out those things that maybe we just had kind of lived in that surface desire, and that's all we were thinking, you know. Kids survive, no major injuries, you know, we pay all our bills, and I hope this morning, God, is that we've been given a glimpse of something deeper, something more significant, something life-changing that God longs to do in us. It's not going to be easy. We're going to do this together. Because the truth is, God, we need you.